H, because we need you and we want you and we love you on the edge. Jan Malik, all the way from the UK.
That's it.
Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Yes, there she is. She's right there next to me. You know what? Brains, you have to understand that if you don't move it, you're going to lose it. And the body is a machine. It is a muscle. Look at her. She's 60 plus. Lean, thin,
64. 64.
Are you 64? Wow.
I'm 64, yep.
And she looks gorgeous. Her skin is glowing and radiant. You know, and it's hard. I know it's hard. But if you don't move around, you know, especially that we're all confined in the house, I try to go outside and hula hoop. I try to go ride my bike a little bit. I try to walk, but I have to move it. And it's good for your mental psyche. Not only is she a physical fitness expert working with older women, but she is into neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy. So with that, she's going to tell us a little bit about how we can talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves. And you know what else she did, Brace? She know what I got a job. Time job at the post office. Okay, we're going to talk to her about that too. So help me welcome our guest to the edge today. Here's to you, Jan Malik. Hi, baby.
Hi.
My brains are happy to have you, and I'm so glad to see, you know, that you are still, you're an a sign of encouragement for me to really kind of keep moving, because you can sit here and all the exercise you get is hand to mouth, you know, because we're depressed, so that leads to eating. Tell us how you started with fitness and a little bit about your history.
Well, I tell you, I'll go back through my history first, because it all leads up to what I do now. All right. Now, the thing is, you'll probably hear from my accent, I'm not actually from Britain originally. Yeah. I lived in New York State for 10 years. Okay. Now, what happened was my parents got divorced. My my father was American. My mother was British. So she decided she would come back to Scotland. So she brought myself and my younger sister, Wendy, over to Scotland. Now, as I say, I was only about 10, 11 years old at the time, right? So this was a massive change. The school was just totally different. It was as if we were 50 years back in the past compared to what I was doing in the States.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you one story that happened to me when I was still 10 years old living in the States. And this is partly what has shaped me today, all right? When I was at school, I wasn't doing too great at school, right? And I was getting all C's and D's on my report card. And I can always remember the bakery guy coming to the house to sell us Hostess cupcakes.
I know.
And, she said,
fresh milk. You remember the fresh milk?
And she... And my mother shows my report card to this guy saying, isn't this awful? She's got all these C's and D's. And I don't, the guy, you know, I don't know what he thought. You know, he sort of thought, well, that's the way it is, ma'am, you know. But my mother, you know how we never really got on, but I'll tell you, she taught me so many things. And it's only when you get older that you fully appreciate what she's done for you.
Yep.
So I tell you, after that report card, she said, right, Jan, I know that you want to have a guitar to learn how to play guitar.
Mm.
What I'm going to do is, if you can improve your grades, I will buy you a guitar.
Wow.
So that was it. That was my first goal that I ever had. As I said, I was 10 years old at the time. And it was a case of not only did I improve my grades, but I got 9 A's.
Wow.
So I really, really went that extra mile.
Yes,
and guess what? The next day, my mom took me to the music shop, paid the $10, and I got my guitar.
It was $10? Oh, wow.
$10, yeah. Well, we're talking 1966.
Wow. But it was an investment. Do you still play the guitar?
No. Do you know, it was one thing that I really didn't ever master. But the thing is, it wasn't the instrument that I learned from. It was from what my mother had done.
Absolutely.
And she encouraged me. And another way that she encouraged me, you know, as a kid, you know, you'd always be asking your mom these various questions and whatnot, you know. But she would never answer them. She would say, "We have got three sets of encyclopedias in this house. Look it up."
Yeah.
And that was a habit. And I've still, of course, we don't have to look up encyclopedias now.
We just
go to Google. But it's brilliant. Yes.
So she taught you to set goals for yourself, and she taught you to go and do the work. That's right.
Yes. So, and that has stood me in good stead throughout my whole life. And the thing is that really what's happened throughout my life, that I continually set goals for myself. I continually give myself challenges to do. And of course, I am that lifelong learner. And this was all instilled in me when I was only 10 years old.
And that's great. Are you a parent or a grandparent?
I have two children, a boy and a girl. Sorry, a man and a woman now.
Oh, right.
My son is 32. My daughter is 30. And my daughter is married and she has two children. Ryan, who's just coming up to 2 years old, and Alex, who is 5. And they are absolutely amazing. Of course, obviously, I used to help out with the babysitting and all that, but I can't do that now because of the current circumstances.
Well,
you know
what?
But the wonderful thing with online is you can have video calls with them.
I know, but you know what? My daughter was here yesterday for Mother's Day, and it was me, her, and my mother, and I gave her a big hug and a kiss, and she said, "Mommy, you haven't hugged and kissed me in weeks." I'm not going out like that. I mean, I know everybody's different, but I'm not going out like that. I'm going to hug and kiss the ones that are close to me while I can and while I can touch them. To see the seniors to have to go through that where they're visiting with their loved ones through glass or at a distance is really, really heart-wrenching because they're already feeling isolated and alone in these facilities, and now they're scared for their health, and in addition to that, they can't kiss on their grandkids, their great-grandkids, or other kids. So now you have a primary focus, and your focus is working with senior citizens. I know that you are one of a particular age, but why did you focus on fitness? Why did you jump into fitness?
Well, again, this was not on my agenda at all. I think a lot of people, because you're a personal trainer, you've probably done it since you were a teenager. No, not me. I was 60 years old before I decided to get into fitness. Yes.
Wow. See, brains is too late.
No, I was just a slob like many of us before. and I had a desk job. I had a desk job. I was always sitting. I would drive to my job and I would maybe walk occasionally, but I never used to actually exercise.
Wow.
Now, the thing is about my parents, they both died in their 50s. My father was only 55 and my mother was 59. And that was purely because of their poor lifestyle, let's say that. You know, they drank too much, they smoked too much. They just didn't look after themselves. So when I got to 52, I thought, hang on, Jan. The stark realization here is that I might only, like my father, only have another 3 years to live.
Wow.
And that really shook me to the core. Yeah. So what I did was by this time I was actually hypnotherapy trained. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're
kind of stuck. So hang on.
Okay.
And then I'll count you back in. And when I count you back in, pick up right where you left off talking about, what were you saying, 55? You thought you were only going to be living till you were 55. Okay, 5, 4, 3, yeah, 2, 1. And so you thought, what now?
Well, the thing was, I got this stark realization. Let's face it, my father died at 55. I was 52. And I thought, whoa, have I really only got years to live? And I thought, that's not. I could live 3 years. So what I did was, because I was hypnotherapy trained.
Hold on. We're going to do it again. Talk to me a little bit. I'm trying to see if this is, because it's still sputtering.
Okay, so how's it going? Is it quite smooth or is it quite jumpy?
It's kind of jumpy a little bit. Hold on, talk to me a little bit. Talk to me about flowers, trees, birds.
Right.
Can you?
Right, you're actually freezing up a bit. Okay.
Am I sputtering?
Okay. Yeah, you're sputtering a bit. Yes. Okay, you seem to have calmed down now.
That's what he said. Okay, finish telling me what you were saying, honey.
Okay, right. Okay. So as I say, when I was 52, I came to this horrible realization that my father had only lived till he was 55. And the thought of only having 3 years left, I thought, no, I'm going to have to do something about this. So what I did was I used my hypnotherapy skills and my NLP skills to stop myself from smoking and drinking. In other words, I stopped myself from killing myself.
Right. So, are you, were you just a casual user or were you a heavy
user? Oh, no. Well, I mean, certainly smoking 20 a day, but drinking. But drinking was, I was a binge drinker. In fact, I was really quite a problem drinker. I'd obviously inherited this from my own parents.
Right.
So I knew
watching that behavior.
It had to be done. Yeah.
Wow.
So now that was way back in 2008. And then it was what, about 2016, I thought, hold on, okay, I've done those two things, but surely I could now become more physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, hold on, I'm 60 years old. Because it's not so much about life expectancy, but it's about healthy life expectancy. Mm-hmm. You want to be healthy as you grow older. So I sort of started on this fitness program, and I thought, I got this idea into my head saying, this is a brilliant challenge. Why don't I actually become a fitness instructor? And not only will that help me, but it will help all the other people out there around about my age. And I thought, yes. So this, again, this is another career change I've had. And I love it. Because the thing is, I used to be a network engineer. I used to fix machines. Yeah. But back in 2008, I stopped that because I thought, I'm fed up fixing machines all the time. I want to start people. Yeah. Right.
Which is
another type of machine.
But let me ask you something. Now, people think that at the age of 50 and beyond, that they're stuck. They don't think that they can lose the weight. They don't have the mindset. They already have some sort of pre-existing condition, you know, be it heart or, you know, cancer or diabetes. They really don't feel that. I don't even think that they feel that. I think it is a mindset of even wanting to do it, because you can do anything that you put your mind to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this April, this is where the NLP comes in, because it all helps you alter the way you think about yourself and about other people.
Hold on. So just so that you know, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, okay?
That's
it's the process of how you talk to yourself and what you feed into your brain. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay, now an awful lot of people, as you've said yourself, they get to 50, 55 and say, I'm too old to do this, that, and the next thing. So guess what? You are actually telling your own subconscious this. And of course, what you tell your subconscious is what your subconscious believes, all right? Certainly, there are a lot of people who will say, I'll fail at this. I can't do this. I'm too old. And they'll come up with umpteen excuses. Yeah. But what you want to do is focus on, let's start thinking about the benefits of what you will get if you start moving, if you start eating properly. Just think about it. Okay, you might live another 20 years, but you want to make sure those 20 years, you're compos mentis, and you're not going to be disabled. And really what you want to do is manage whatever condition you have. But certainly regards heart trouble, diabetes, even cancer, exercise and eating properly can virtually reverse all of that, or at least it can make it more manageable. That's the thing.
Right. And, you know, with exercise, I want you to give us three quick things that people can do. A simple walk. And the walk doesn't have to be a speed walk. It doesn't have to be really far. You can walk from the front of your house to the back of your house 4 or 5 times. You can walk from the corner 4 or 5 times. But it's engaging and moving. Give us a couple other quick exercise movements.
I mean, even if we're just talking about being in the house, say you're, you know, cooped up in the house.
Right. Like we all are right now, right?
Exactly. But yeah, you can walk around your house. Keep walking around your house. Keep visiting the same rooms over and over again. The important thing is keep moving. If you have stairs in your house, go up and down those stairs several times. In fact, you want to challenge yourself to go up and down those stairs as many times as you can until you feel, no, do you know what? I better sit down. Yeah. But there are loads of other things, even just sitting down watching TV. You know, I mean, there's loads of, you know, I mean, just circle your arms, get those shoulders, get your back, get your chest all moving. Because it, as you say, if you don't use it, you lose it. And people say, oh, my back's all stiff, my shoulders are stiff. But that's because you're not using them. Yeah. So even, you don't even have to have a special exercise session. You don't have to reserve time for exercise. Just when you're sitting down watching TV, just be aware of what you're doing and just do it. Yeah.
Well, when I do it with my mom, you know, she's 90. And so, you know, she moves a little slow. Everything moves okay, but it moves slow. Just lifting your knees up, you know, doing it 20 times. I'm tired too. It works your core. It works your abs. It gets the stress off of your back. So those are great things that you can do. There's a lot of chair yoga classes that they have, senior slipper classes that they have online that you can turn on and simply watch. Just turn on some good music and get moving. Get some hand weights, a couple cans, a bean.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
maybe a sack of flour, potatoes, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, actually, although I focus on sort of 50 and 60 year olds for personal training, I also take seated exercise classes, and these are for 80s, 90s, you know, this is their age group. And, you know, they'll come along to the class with their walking frames and they'll get into their seats, but they move just as I want them to move. And we put on a whole lot of old records. And it's all old 50s, 60s stuff that they can remember. And so, in other words, they're dancing away to it, and it's great. They really enjoy it. I was about to say, unfortunately, because of our current circumstances, I can't run these classes. But what I did do is I recorded a class and I put it on my website. And I've, you know, people are more than free to watch it. Just don't share it though. Right. The reason why I'm saying that is I've got music in the background, and the music police would probably be on my back.
I know. But you know what? Right now, I don't know who's mind in the store. But what's also people fail to realize is that your brain is a muscle. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be worked. Okay? And if that's by reading, I said, we played yesterday for Mother's Day. We played Old Maid with my mother. And
Wow, that brings back memories. You know,
or we play a concentration where you turn over the cards. We get puzzles. All of those things are to keep your mind active too. Because yeah. I have friends that are like my father. My father is 83 years old and sharp as a whip, but he's an avid reader. So you have to exercise those minds too. Now, when it talks about the mind, let's talk a little bit about hypnotherapy. How did you get involved in hypnotherapy, and what benefit does that add to everything else that you're doing?
Well, the way I got involved in that is, as I say, I was a network engineer fixing these machines. But I've always been into self-improvement. I've always bought books, you know, like from Tony Robbins and things like that. And I literally just woke up one morning and I looked across at one of my bookcases and there was a Tony Robbins book. And I thought, wow, he talks about this NLP. I have no idea what NLP is, but I want to do that. Yeah. So that was my mind made up. I put my notice in at work, left my work. Didn't even tell my husband. Because, like, I just do what I want, you know.
Not only does Tony have you walking on fire, he got you waking up one morning, quitting your job. Go on, Tony.
So what I did was I actually cashed in part of my pension to give me a lump sum so that I can invest in this hypnotherapy and NLP course, which I did. Because the thing is, learning, okay, it costs money, but it's an investment because you're going to get so much out of it. You know, that's the important thing. So yes, I invested in that and I did my course up in the Highlands of Scotland. All very nice. Yes. Wow. And I'm actually, yep. And I'm still friends with them now. But the thing is, NLP was an amazing tool because it helps you refocus on how you're thinking.
Exactly.
Obviously, the way it ties in to exercise now is, yes, you can do it. Let's look at the reasons, the benefits, why you want to do it. Regards hypnotherapy, I mean, I can do hypnotherapy recordings to help people enjoy exercise because really it's a case of getting into your subconscious mind. And if you can tell your subconscious mind the exercise is good for you and you enjoy it, it works.
It does work. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is I set myself up at night after I say my prayers. I already program how I want my next day to be.
Exactly.
I want to make great contacts. I want to have a great day. I want to eat less. I already program my brain, and you can do this, brains, trust me, I do it all the time. And it is what you tell yourself. I tell you all the time, the subconscious mind is so powerful. There's so much there that you don't know about yourself, but this has given you about 58-60 days almost to figure it out. And if you sat there and wasted time, you know, I think you got a few more days left, but you better get with it. What do you think all of this has taught the human race going through COVID-19, and what has it taught you?
I think one of the things that it's taught me is that health is absolutely crucial. Whether we've got this virus or not, we have to look after our own health. You know, okay, you do a job or whatever, you need money coming in, but unless you're of a reasonable health, you're not going to be able to do that job. There's a lot of mothers, grandmothers out there who, unless they're healthy, they're not going to be very, you know, they're not going to be very fit mother. Well, they're going to be a fit mother, but you know what I mean? They're not going to be physically fit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need to be physically fit because you need one heck of a lot of energy. You know this, to be a mom, and you need one heck of a lot of energy to be a grandmother. Yeah. And also, you want to make sure that you want to see your grandchildren grow. Yeah.
Well, you know, they got all this trickery about pre-existing conditions. I say, if you have been on this planet 5 years, you got some sort of pre-existing condition.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Sometimes you come in as an asthmatic. Sometimes you come in with bone disease, or sometimes you come in with, you know, eye problems or hearing. So all of this pre-existing, no, each one of us are affected by that. And I see.
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, the thing is, whether it's your health or not, everyone has problems of whatever description. And it's a case of don't focus on the problem. Think right. of a solution. Yeah. Because obviously you'll have a lot of people, maybe they've got an arthritic knee or something like that. And that's what they'll do all day is just complain about this arthritic right. knee. Instead of saying, right, well, what could I do to help myself feel better?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a little bit, I know I had this sciatic nerve problem and it moved to my hip. And I started walking with a limp and I was like, oh, hell no. And so I just started walking every day. And now, you know, it kinks up a little bit. I'll stop, I'll rest. But the more I walk, the better it seems to get. Because I was afraid. I was like, I do not want a hip replacement in my 50s.
Oh, no, 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 no. You know, that's, I mean, I actually, at Christmas time, I had sciatica in my leg. And it's so, so painful. And in fact, it was so bad. I mean, I actually, well, I wasn't going to have a walking stick. I ended up with a walking pole. So at least it made me look athletic.
It made you look that cool.
So I had to hobble along to the doctor. And I mean, I very rarely go to the doctor, but I thought I'm just going to have to see this guy and that's it. And you know what? The advice was, okay, take your painkillers. But the important thing is keep moving.
Right, keep right. Moving. Keep moving. Don't let it stiffen up. Don't let it stiffen up. And again, take the advice of your doctor, Brains. We're just giving you alternatives and options. But I tell you, a good acupuncturist is always somebody great to have in your Rolodex and a massage therapist. And I can't see either one of mine right now. Driving me crazy, but I'm sitting here, you know, and I catch myself. I have been suffering from screen fatigue. I don't know how many people know, but this computer can wear you down. It was making me
vomit. Yeah,
it was making my eyes dry. It was making my head hurt. I would find myself just kind of nodding out. It's awful. There's a lot of symptoms that can come from that. So you got to get up, yeah. You got to move, you got to give yourself a break and turn the device off and turn on some music. Let's talk about turning on food. Now, you know, me and food are friends, girl. We love each other. And again, from a cultural perspective, I've really kind of pulled back on, you know, the saturated fats and the greases and all that, but I want some flavor and that's what brings the flavor. What are some things that you want people to watch outside of salt and sugar, because we already know that, in their diet? What would you like to see them incorporate more?
Well,
because you look very lean and very fit.
Well, that's maybe what I look like now. That's not what I looked like 5 years ago.
Wow.
5 years ago, I was, I'm just trying to think.
You've been keeping it up. You know, 5 years is, you know, some people lose it 6 months, and then 9 months later, they put on that plus sub. So that consistency. I think that's part of the
To be honest, I'll tell you what, April, although I'd really been watching what I was eating, for some reason, I just wasn't losing the weight. But I tell you, once I actually started an exercise program, that is what made the difference. Now, I'm just going to talk a bit about habits and goal setting, because a lot of people will say, right, my goal is to lose 30 pounds. Right? Now, the problem with that is that they lose the 30 pounds, but then the goal has been achieved and they go and put the weight back on again. The difference with me is that I became a personal trainer and that was my identity. Yeah. So now my subconscious is saying, Jan, you have to keep exercising. You have to keep eating well because you are that person. Yeah.
Right.
So what you want to do is people want to say, right, okay, I want to lose weight, but while I'm losing weight, keep telling yourself that I eat healthy foods. Yeah. I am a person who eats healthy foods. Right. And then you are then identifying yourself as a healthy person.
Well, I have this mantra that I say to myself. Now, I look at my plate.
Yeah.
I talk to my plate. I want to make sure that there's a lot of color.
Does it talk back?
Yes, because it'll say, you know what? There's too much white stuff right here, girl. You need to pull back on them potatoes, or you need to pull back on that rice, okay? Why isn't the rice brown, April? Why is it white? You know, why do you have this big piece of steak? So, yes, it does talk back. But when it talks to me, I also have a mantra that I say. I say, food is energy, and I am running on a reserve. And I keep telling myself that. And when I do that, I stop and pump the brakes and say, you know what? Okay, you don't need these cookies. Or you can treat yourself to a cookie. Or, you know, soda used to be my thing. I got rid of the soda. But sometimes I crave it. I'll put a lot more ice in it. I'll water it down. And I'll say, okay, if I have a soda, then I've treated myself. I won't have one. You know, the rest of the day is water. So you have to keep having that conversation with yourself, because that is what the discipline is. And that's where I fall short of the glory, is being consistent with it. I can do it. I love to work out. I love to play tennis. I love to get in the pool and do all of these great things. But if I'm not consistent hand to mouth, that's where my challenge is. And sitting in front of this computer with the screen fatigue, you know, you got some chips and you got some nuts and all, you know, and you're just sitting here all day doing that. I don't want to do that. So what else you have done is now you done went out and got you a part-time job at the post office. Girl, what is the post office like in Europe? Because it is crazy as hell over here in the U.S. They trying to shut our post office down.
Right, well. Wow. I mean, no, ours is fully operational and it is so busy. It is not true. But the thing was that I had worked three Christmases, you know, with the Royal Mail. They call it the Royal Mail because you're delivering the Queen's mail. Yeah.
Okay, hold on 1 second, because you're sputtering and I want to get this. Hold on. Let's stabilize a little bit. And then... All right. And so now when you come back in, you're talking about your job. I'll reintroduce it. Hold on. Okay. And Brains, she done went out and got herself a part-time job at the post office of all places. They're trying to shut our post office down here in the U.S. Tell us a little bit about your new part-time job, Jan.
Okay, well, I tell you, April, I've actually been doing this for 2 years now, because remember, I had to pay for my personal training courses, and they cost big money. So what I did was, that is why I started working with the Royal Mail, to give me some income. But I tell you, ever since this virus, the place is absolutely jumping. It's got so much mail coming in because everybody's buying everything they can see online. Yeah. And obviously we've got to process that so it can be sent out to the postman so he can deliver these things. So I have absolutely no shortage of shifts. I work the night shift and it's great. I really enjoy it.
Well, that's great. Now, why do they call it the Royal Mail? Is it because they're delivering the Queen's mail?
Yes, that's right. Yes. It's always been called the Royal Mail. Yes. So you are actually on behalf of the Queen. Yes, you are. It makes it sound very, very important and grand, doesn't it?
It does.
In theory, you are actually delivering the Queen's mail. Yes, yes.
Let me ask you a question, too. What is it like living up under a monarchy? Because this joker that we got here in the White House, he thinks he's royalty. What does that feel like? And what is the significance and the purpose of that? Do you think that that's kind of outdated? Well, considering you came from to Europe, so it's different.
Well, the thing is, the Queen is just a figurehead. Yeah, to be honest, she's a tourist attraction. That's what she is, really. Mm-hmm. Many people have no time for her at all. Of course, what we have is our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who is another person.
Corona survivor.
Yeah. So he's the head of the country, if you like. The Queen is just there to give garden parties and whatnot, you know.
And wear the big diamonds and all the pomp and
circumstance. That's it.
You know, make all the tabloids happy. That's crazy. Because again, but have they ever, have they ever really served a significant purpose? I've never really understood that.
No, there has never really been that sort of purpose. It's funny because as a child, I always thought that the Queen was the person who made the rules, you know.
Yeah.
And then realize, no, that's not the Queen.
Well, they really try to keep that bloodline pure, the blue bloods. I mean, they don't want anybody infiltrating. I'm surprised the sister got up in there, but she didn't come back. She couldn't take it. She didn't come back to the U.S. She said, oh, no, it's too much for me. Too much for me. Too many rules. Yeah. Well, you are a woman of rules and discipline and structure, and I admire that. I really do. Tell me three things in this life that you just absolutely cannot live without.
That I couldn't live without. My grandchildren. I better. And my sewing machine. I'm not even going to say my computer, because obviously I couldn't live without the computer, but everybody would say that, wouldn't they?
Well, right now anyway, but you know, we don't have a choice. That's the only way that we're connecting. And I am just so glad that we have that, because that is how I connected with you. And you have been so, so willing to change and reinvent yourself over again. But not only do that, share that with others and help them know that, you know, being 60 is not the end. It could be a new beginning. And so I admire you so much. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Jan, if they want to go online. I'm sure that in between working at the post office and sewing, that you can make one or two videos for us to join along, because I'd love to join along with Jan.
Okay. Well, first of all, my website is janmalek.com, a nice, easy one. If you want to join me on social media, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, just do a search for Jan Malek, because I'm pretty well the only one in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I'm bringing out some new courses, which will be released over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And it's going to give people the opportunity to take some challenges. And if you go to courses.fitnessforolderwomen.com, you'll see them there.
Now, Braze, I'm going to put all these links down at the bottom, because she was here on the edge with us, and I want everybody to know, I want us to get physically fit. Do it with your grandchildren, okay? They're about the same speed. You know, encourage yourself, push yourself, motivate yourself. That's all that we have, brains, is time. So we might as well get physically fit. Thank you so much, Jan, for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Brains, go back, sign up for everything. Some more edgy conversations. We've got people that are cooking. We've got people that are singing. We've got medical doctors. We've got Bitcoin. We got just some random conversations, too. Go back and listen. Thank you so much for being here on the edge, Jan. And when you get those programs up, you send me the link and I'm going to post them and keep them posted.
So I certainly will. And thank you so much, April. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, baby. All right, brains. Have a great day. Lift some weights. Work it out.